Welcome to Animal Concerns of Texas, ACT Radio. I'm Greg Lawson.
And I'm Tom Linney.
Here on ACT, we talk about how we humans relate to other animals.
We talk about how we use them for food, clothing, and entertainment, and how there are humane alternatives to these practices.
We also talk about why a plant-based diet is the best thing one can do for the environment.
So if you're concerned about the environment, if you're concerned about the way animals are treated, if you're concerned about your health, stay with us for Animal Concerns of Texas. Coming up on today's show, we feature a conversation with author and vegan chef Jason Weirich. That's a little later in the show, but first some news. From the online newsletter, The Dodo, in some families, hunting is a tradition that's passed down from one generation to the next. But on a recent outing to teach two kids how to kill for sport, the lesson ended up being one about friendship. Hunter Jung, a kindergartner from Wisconsin, and his cousin Briel were on their first deer hunting trip, learning about the sport from their parents, when things took an unexpectedly sweet turn. After spotting a small deer in the brush, Hunter was getting ready to fire his pellet gun at the animal, like he'd been taught, when his father stopped him. And it's a good thing that he did. Turns out the young buck was still too small to shoot, though Hunter and Briel soon discovered there was more to be gained by showing him kindness. Incredibly, instead of shying away from the young hunting party, the deer did the opposite, walking right up to Hunter and Briel. In the moments that followed, the kids pet and stroke the deer and pose for a few photos with their former target, who is now their friend. Even the older family members, presumably a bit more hardened hunters, couldn't help but be smitten by the friendly deer. With deer season now closed, Hunter and Briel will have to wait another year before the hunting lesson can begin anew, though it's hard not to suspect that they'll approach the activity a little differently, knowing that any deer they encounter just might be their friend.
After years of sweeping the issue under the rug and hoping no one would notice, the FDA has now finally admitted that chicken meat sold in the United States contains arsenic, a cancer-causing toxic chemical that's fatal in high doses. How does arsenic get into chicken meat? It's added to chicken feed to kill parasites. The FDA says that its own research shows that arsenic added to chicken feed ends up in the chicken meat where it's consumed by humans. So for the last 60 years, American consumers who eat conventional chicken have been swallowing arsenic, a known carcinogen. Until this new study, both the poultry industry and the FDA denied that arsenic fed to chickens ended up in their meat. We've all been told for 60 years that the arsenic is excreted in the chicken feces. But there's no scientific basis for making such a claim. It's just what the poultry industry wanted everyone to believe. But now the evidence is so undeniable that the manufacturer of the chicken feed product, known as Ruxarzone, has decided to pull the product off the shelves. The company making Ruxarzone chicken feed, Alpharma, is a subsidiary of the pharmaceutical company Pfizer. Even though Alpharma has now agreed to pull this toxic feed chemical off the shelves in the United States, it says it won't necessarily remove it from feed products in other countries unless it's forced by regulators to do so. The company sells the ingredient in about a dozen other countries. But even as its arsenic-containing product is pulled off the shelves, the FDA continues its campaign of denial, claiming arsenic in chickens is at such a low level that it's still safe to eat. This is even as the FDA says arsenic is carcinogenic. The National Chicken Council agrees with the FDA, of course, in a statement issued in response to the news that Ruxarzone would be pulled from feed store shelves. The Chicken Council stated that chicken is safe to eat, even while admitting arsenic was used in many flocks grown and sold as chicken meat in the United States. As usual, the FDA is more concerned about protecting the profits of companies than about protecting the health of Americans. Oh, by the way, here's another disturbing fact you might not know about hamburgers and conventional beef. Chicken litter containing arsenic is fed to cows in factory beef operations as a protein supplement. So the arsenic that's pooped out by the chickens gets consumed and concentrated in the tissue of cows, when it's then ground into hamburger to be consumed by the public, who don't even know they're eating secondhand chicken poop.
Bon appetit. from One Green Planet. There's a federal program to end wild horses, and your food choices may be supporting it. In the United States, the government has erased wild horses and burros from 40% of the public land that was supposed to be their sanctuary. In 1971, the Free Roaming Horse and Burros Act was passed to protect these animals on designated federal land. But the meat and dairy industry, which our government subsidizes, had other ideas. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has a branch called Wildlife Services, funded by our tax dollars, that is dedicated to managing wildlife when it gets in the way of the meat and dairy industry's profits. Wildlife Services is known for gunning down and poisoning coyotes, even pumping gas into their dens, along with other animals it considers pests, which leaves the U.S. Bureau of Land Management to deal with one of America's living symbols of freedom, the wild horse. In the western United States, the cattle livestock to wild horse ratio is clear, 50 to 1. This is thanks to the Bureau of Land Management's controlling of wild roaming horse and burro populations, which it does so frighteningly well. There is currently 8 times more public land rented by the government to cattle ranchers than allotted for wild horses. How is this grotesque feat achieved? Government roundups. Wild horses, once considered by Congress no less, to be the living symbols of the historic and pioneer spirit of the West, are frightened and chased by helicopters into stockpiling facilities and go from Maine rippling freedom to nightmarish scenes of cramped captivity, separation from their families, branding with burning hot irons, and worse. The Bureau of Land Management then auctions the horses off, allegedly for adoption, and tragically, slaughterhouses are their most common adopters. Horse meat has a huge market in Canada, Mexico, and overseas. And in 2001, 85% of the horses slaughtered in a Canadian processing plant originated in the United States. While the government's guise of adoption is a lovely ruse, it did not stop the BLM from selling over 1,700 horses to a horse-known slaughterer from 2009 to 2012. That man, Tom Davis, is outspoken about his yen for killing horses, despite having signed contracts upon adopting the hundreds of horses that they might be protected. The BLM investigated the matter half-heartedly after much resistance and, of course, found themselves not guilty. Tom Davis himself, who has been vocal about setting up a horse slaughterhouse in Colorado, claims they must have known, selling such a volume of horses to one person, what was going to happen to those horses. As if we needed another reason to choose plant-based foods, to eschew animal cruelty, to lighten our environmental impact, for our health. If people choose to cut cow meat and dairy out of their lives, wild horses may benefit. The less we contribute to these industries, the less land cattle ranchers will need, and the less land our government will hand them. When making the switch to plant-based, sustainable foods, remember that any hesitation or frustration we may feel in the transition is nothing compared to the terror of wild horses as they're shoved into hot or freezing, cramped transport trucks and sent on their long, agonizing journey to slaughter. To learn more about how to help wild horses, please visit the website of the American Wild Horse Preservation. Stay with us. Coming up next is a conversation with vegan chef Jason Weirich. Jason's the co-author of the New York Times bestseller, 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart. He's also the first vegan chef to teach in the world-famous Le Cordon Bleu program at the Scottsdale Culinary Institute. He's been featured in the New York Times and on national television and has traveled the world teaching vegan cooking classes. That's next on Animal Concerns of Texas.